This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Today's message title, Natalie always asks me, so here you go, Nat, I'm giving it to you early. You cannot give what you do not have. All right? Let me repeat that again. You cannot give if you don't have it. One time, one of my favorite pranks in the past was I bought some fake lotto tickets. Have you ever gotten one of those fake lotto tickets? And I mailed one to my niece, and she thought there's no way Uncle Pastor Mario would send me a fake lotto ticket. And she thought she won $2 million, so... They were running around the house. We're moving. And all of a sudden you hear, oh no. So you can't give what you don't have. Today we're going to continue our series on the Beatitudes found in Matthew chapter 5. Let me just read the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain and he sat down just like a rabbi would. He would sit down and his disciples would sit at his feet. It says his disciples came to him and he began to teach them. And can I just tell you, the Beatitudes changed my life. I already knew about Jesus. I already gave my life to Jesus. I spirit-filled in the name of Jesus, spoke in other languages in the name of Jesus, but I'm telling you, finally understanding the importance and the power behind the Beatitudes changed my life. When I went off to college, secular college, Western Carolina, I knew how to raise my hands for Jesus. I knew how to jump for Jesus. I knew how to shout for Jesus. But what I did not know how to is to live for Jesus. And of course, I don't blame anybody but myself, not really being a student of his word. And the Beatitudes are historically known to change people's lives. These powerful first teachings of our Lord, if we take it to heart, I believe can change our trajectory as well. That we live that life of abundance that God has called us to live, and abundance in his plan and his purpose for us. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And right off the bat, it's a posture of poverty. I would say it's a posture of humility, and it's a posture of willing to receive. Now, I used to raise teenagers, and one of the things that teenagers don't do really well is receive advice, because they already know. You know what I mean? I already know. I hit a nerve. Yeah, I know. That is not a posture of humility. I already know. And Jesus has challenged his disciples that that's not the attitude to have. The second thing is that blessed those who mourn. Mourn for the sins of this world. Mourn for those who are caught up in sin. Mourn for our own sins. Mourn for the loss of what God has planned for us, that we're out of his plan because of sin in our lives. And it's an attitude of humility again. If not by the grace of God, there go I. It keeps us to have this correct posture of humility. And it just builds on each other, these Beatitudes. Last week was blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And we were challenged, like, can you really live this out when we live in a world that doesn't believe in meekness? We live in a world that's about power and position. And it's about utilizing and capitalizing on power and position. If you want things done in your life, you have to get into the position of power and position. I was challenged by the person I follow on a podcast, can you really live out the Beatitudes in prison? He has a prison Bible study. He meets with them, and when he reads this, he can almost feel like all this is like fluffy stuff that's for the outside world, but not for the inside world. And then he realized, and we shared a few weeks ago, that you know our lives are not that much different. This is hard. This is hard because it's counterculture. It's counterintuitive of how we've been raised. And meek, power under control. And then last week, we blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. This one convicted me the most recently. And it's like, Lord, do I really have this hunger? We talked about what it's like to not eat for a while. And, you know, some of us who've done, fasting, we haven't eaten or drank whatever for a period of time, and your body begins to pang for it. And do we have those same pangs for things of the Lord and hunger and thirst for righteousness? And we were challenged by his word and how we get that. And so now we are, blessed are the merciful. Of all the Beatitudes, I think this one hit me between the eyes the most. And it still does. And I pray that in no way do we try to use guilt or shame. That's not how we do things here. But I pray that we do believe in conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will convict us. And I'm praying for that. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You cannot give what you don't have. Mercy is the mark of a heart that's been transformed. By what? God's grace. We're going to learn here in a second. You can't get what you don't have. But if you have it, the Lord is calling us to give. Mercy is the mark of a heart that is transformed by God's grace. And our goal this morning, I pray that when we walk out these doors, that we're not the same way we walked in. If that's the case, we just had a nice club meeting. But Lord, I pray, God, that you would change us. Change me. Lord, that we would understand and receive and live out mercy in everyday life. So as we continue our journey in the Beatitudes, I want to challenge us that when we read this, it's like stepping on a scale or being on an X-ray machine. You know, it's gonna look on the inside. I have one of those scales where you get on and it reads everything, you know, blood pressure, the whole bit. And that's what this is. It just reads everything. And it's going to let us know that, hey, things aren't in the healthy state. Let me start with a story of mercy. I'm gonna start with a story and end with a story. It's a story, and biblical mercy is about forgiveness, compassion, kindness. Again, you can't give this if you don't have it. And the Lord is, I pray that he begins to pour it in our hearts. And I believe Jesus modeled this perfectly. Amen. So here's the story. There was, I don't know if it's true, okay? I don't know if there's a historical true story, but it's gonna make a point, all right? That's the point of this point. A mother once approached Napoleon seeking a pardon for her son, and the emperor replied that the young man had committed a serious offense, not once but twice, and justice demanded death. Is what he said. But the mom says, I don't ask for justice, the mother pleaded. I ask for mercy. But your son doesn't deserve mercy, Napoleon said. Sir, the woman cried, it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for. And it says that Napoleon was moved. Well, then he said, I will have mercy. And he spared the boy's life. And that's what mercy basically is. It's undeserved compassion in action. In a minute, I'm going to challenge us. Are there people that need your mercy? Mercy is more than a feeling. I just heard Mark humming a song. More than a feeling. Mark, we have the same music like so. Mercy is more than a feeling. It's compassion that will move us to action. Years and years and years ago, right around 1991, it was the time photo of the year. And I will not show it to you because it's horrendous, of a boy who was dying from famine in Africa. It was a little boy, probably 5 years old, stomach bloated, he didn't have enough strength to even lift his head. He was just laying there. It makes me want to cry thinking about it. And right behind him were about four vultures just waiting. That picture made the picture of the year. That reporter, the photographer, got a lot of heat because all he did was take a photo. And they asked him, why didn't you do anything about it? He said he felt bad. It was painful to take. But he had other obligations. So that's not compassion. Compassion is actually seeing the scenario and then doing something about it. Does that make sense? Well, a lot of us, we all do this, and maybe you don't. Maybe you're just, I feel bad for just people's circumstances, but that's feeling bad. That's not compassion. It's not mercy. Mercy includes forgiveness, compassion, and kindness. And of course, Jesus models this perfectly and beautifully. Because of the lateness of the time, we can't read too much, but we know in Luke chapter 10 is the Good Samaritan story, that mercy reaches across social and racial lines. And Luke 15, one of my favorite stories, of the prodigal son who recognized where he was and he came home and the father embraces him. How about the woman who was caught in adultery in John chapter 8 that Jesus protects and restores? And what I'm telling you is that mercy is a natural outflow of the heart. That your heart has been broken and it has been put together, healed by God's grace. So mercy is not weakness. It's like meekness. It's power, strength under control. And so when a heart has been broken and mended, has received mercy, that person now has mercy. And you can give, you can only give what you have, or you can't give what you don't have. So you can't manufacture mercy. At the end, I'm going to share a story about someone who tried to manufacture mercy. But mercy flows from the heart because you recognize that you have received mercy. Ephesians chapter 2, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, made us alive together with Christ. If you are born again, truly born again believer, and you've recognized what God has done for you, that he is rich in mercy. He has flooded us with mercy and grace. And he's bound us together and made us alive together in Christ. I would like to use the word fountain, like the fountain of mercy. And when God has poured so much mercy in your life, Eric prayed about it in our intermission time. It's a natural outflow. It's like you don't have any more space. It has to express itself. Every act of mercy we show reflects what we have received. We have a fountain right outside of here, and it only works if there's water in it. And a lot of times, because of the humidity, or actually for other reasons, the fountain's not working. There's no water in it. You can't flow if there's no water. Can't have mercy if there's no mercy. So again, our title for today is, you cannot give what you do not have. A lot of times that means, you know, when Jesus says, not my will be done, but your will be done. When we say, Lord, your will be done, I want to be merciful, your will be done, that means we have to undo our own will. So the Beatitudes build on each other. I already mentioned that, but the poor in spirit recognizes the need, their own need, our own need. When we mourn, we grieve. As I shared the hunger and thirst for righteousness, I really was praying this week, Lord, do I really have hunger and thirst for righteousness? Maybe you're like me and life's so busy you don't even think about it. So those who mourn grieve for the sin, the meek surrender their rights. Merciful, give what they've received. So let me ask you a question. If you struggle with giving mercy, we need to ask ourselves, do I have it? Do I have mercy to give? Have I let God soak in my life mercy? And I would say, it sounds abstract sometimes how we preach, or I preach. It may sound abstract, but I think it's very practical. It shows up in so practical ways. You want to know how so practical? How we treat people. How we treat people. I had the blessing to go to Chick-fil-A. I don't go to Chick-fil-A because it's expensive, all right? You know, for you parents with kids, it's like taking a loan out. They would make money if they had like a loan company right there. to take your family out to Chick-fil-A is like, wow. Now this Chick-fil-A, and I almost called Natalie because Natalie back in the day managed these Chick-fil-A's. This Chick-fil-A was above and beyond. You know, like they typically are very friendly, right? You know what I'm talking about? With this, I sat my mom down at a table and I was gonna go quickly order. And all of a sudden this young girl, my guess she's in late high school. She goes, hey, to my mom, how are you doing? It's so good to see you. And I thought to myself, does she know my mom? Her welcome to my mom, it was almost like, did she know her? You know, my mom goes to a big church in Sarasota and we kind of have a big family, and you know, I just figured there was a connection. So her name was Hope. She literally went back to the register and she was one register over. And I asked the lady who was taking my order, hey, can I talk to Hope? And I said, hey, Hope, do you know my mom? She said, oh, no. And then I watched the other workers. I'm telling you, this was Chick-fil-A on steroids, okay? But it definitely felt like it wasn't because somebody was hounding them to be nice. I believe there was something in these kids. And I tried to overhear a conversation. They were talking about youth group. There was something in those kids that, yes, they had to be nice at work. But you could tell there was something in their hearts that went above and beyond. So it's not abstract, it's practical in how we treat people. And I would say, especially if they don't deserve it. And I would say my mom doesn't deserve it because she's just a stranger, you know. It's not like she goes there every week. It was a way out of the way place in Bradenton. But how we treat people, and especially if they don't deserve it. Now, I'm imagining, I'm watching, looking at, but many of you guys have kids, and I imagine that can be tough. Mercy forgives, Luke chapter 23, 34. Father, forgive them for what they don't know what they're doing. That's, if we can spend some time on that passage alone, we could spend the rest of the afternoon. This is Jesus living out the Beatitudes. He's not only teaching, he's living it. Jesus forgave them on the cross. So the question is, can we forgive people? Forgiveness doesn't mean forgetfulness. It doesn't mean forgetting or excusing. Hey, sin is sin. But it's like a releasing of retaliation. It's like choosing grace over grudges. Well, Luke chapter 10, Jesus had compassion. When he saw him, he had compassion. Mercy sees suffering and steps in. It gives time, money, presence, your presence. It doesn't ask, do they deserve it? It starts, your spirit starts telling your mind, how can I help? So these are very practical ways, but I'm telling you, you can't do that if you don't have it. A mercy speaks up for the voiceless, the powerless. I think of our unborn children. It defends the weak. It stands with the broken. I don't know where I was at. It was t-shirts. I don't even know if it was. It was a shopping mall in Orlando, and it's a store. But it said, "What does the Lord require of you?" I really don't know if it was a Christian, but it's this passage of Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God? So our challenge is, are we walking humbly with our God? Is mercy flowing like a fountain out of your life? Is there a family member that needs mercy? Now, I've got 5 brothers and a sister. And so the larger the family, the more probability that there's going to be a need for mercy one for another. Have you ever gotten a fight with your siblings as an adult? Yes. Who in our lives, who in your life needs mercy right now? They don't deserve it. You know, if we put the scale of justice, it's guilty. Is there a family member, a coworker, a spouse, a friend? When Robin and I first got married, first few years, I'm just pausing because my mom's here. I don't want her like, I didn't know that. We struggled, and a lot of it is that we didn't have mercy and we weren't given mercy. And it was a moment that the Lord just clicked it in both of our hearts. Blessed are those who are merciful, for what will they receive? They will receive mercy. This is not just like a transaction. This is a truth. Those who live in mercy are those who are full of mercy and will continue to allow it to flow out of their lives. Now, today, as we walk out these doors, we're going to experience God's mercy in our daily walk. If you're aware and tuned to it, you're going to see how God loves us in spite of us and in our shortcomings, and he's very merciful. So you don't earn mercy. It's something that you experience, receive it, and we all know if we receive mercy, it flows out. There's an evidence of you receiving mercy. There's a picture of a gentleman, a character in a movie. I think one of the most impactful movies ever made, Schindler's List. Anybody ever seen Schindler's List? A few of you. I can't pronounce his name correctly, so I'm gonna just say Goff, okay? This is a military man, his name is Goff, and he had authority in this prison over the Jewish prisoners. And Schindler, the other main character, this guy was just brutal, just shooting people left and right. And then Schindler tries to talk to him about maybe doing something different. And he's trying to convince this character about mercy. And he lectures him about power and what he called the emperor's forgiveness. Because in a previous scene, Schindler spoke about the emperor's power to pardon. And he was suggesting to this guy that true power lies in mercy rather than brutality. And there's a scene called "I Pardon You." And this character, Goth, after a moment of contemplation, decides to pardon this little boy who messed up cleaning his bathtub. Because his previous behavior, he was just take the young boy out. So he lets him go. He says, "I pardon you. I give you mercy." And so this character, Goth, is visibly shaken and disturbed by his own. He was shocked by being merciful. And he begins to stare himself in a mirror, struggling that he was merciful. You would think that he would feel good, right? Like somehow, hey, I did something nice. And that's what he did contemplate. I did something nice this one time to this boy. Sadly, in the movie, later on, he ends up killing the boy. Why? Because his act of mercy wasn't genuine. It wasn't from in here. He was just trying something out. Why did he change his mind? Because he experienced something he didn't really have, which was he was nice to this boy. And he had to come to the realization that he has not been nice to other people. And I believe what happens when he recognizes that if I continue to do this, it will expose that I was a monster before. It is a very tragic movie. I do recommend watching it. It is rated R. There are some scenes that are not suitable for everybody. But I believe he would have to come to grips that he was a monster. That he cannot do that. If he embraced this new stance, he would have to condemn all his horrific things that he's done in the past. And it was too hard for him to remake himself, to have a new perspective. He would have to see himself as a monster, and he was a monster. So why am I sharing this story? I'm sharing this story is that true mercy comes, I believe, through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and how we treat one another. The last point I have, I did not know I went over time. I'm surprised Robin hasn't sent the kids upstairs. Is mercy does not project your life into somebody else's life. Sin is still sin. We still have to make judgments. But you do it with a spirit of humility. Recognize that you too are broken but received mercy and grace. And so the challenge for us this morning, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And one day, we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to receive mercy. Amen? And what you're going to hear is what? Well done. Why? Because merciful is not earning mercy. Receiving mercy is an outflow of what God has done. For those who live in mercy are those who will receive it and how we'll continue to receive it. This changed my life, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will change your life. It really helped me in how to deal with people. Deal with my wife, my children, everything. My brothers, my sisters. I look at them differently. I look at my wife differently. When I allow the Holy Spirit to really pour into this truth and allow me to understand what Jesus did for me and allow mercy to fill me so much so. And I'm not perfect. I still fail. I forget sometimes to be merciful. And for that, I'm sorry, but I want to be more like Jesus. And I hope that you do too. So let's close our eyes and for a moment and just say, and I do this every week. I'm just going to pray that God will reveal to you if you need more mercy in your life, or at least understanding of what Jesus has done. He's done so much. I mean, we are so filled with his mercy. But Lord, help us to understand what you've done. And an outflow is that we're merciful. That's you say, Pastor Mario, every eye closed, head bowed. Just say, Pastor Mario, I need my eyes more open on mercy. If that's you, just raise your hand. Amen. Hands everywhere. I'm raising my hands. Lord, I pray, God, for all those who raised their hands and those who wanted to but didn't. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just open our eyes more clearly, take away the cataracts that are fogging our vision of mercy and what you've done for us. And Lord, help us not just to feel bad like that photographer, but Lord, help us to act on it. And Lord, be merciful. Lord, help us not to understand mercy, but Lord, to be merciful. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Lord, we pray for those family members that we might have conflict with, our spouses, our children, coworkers, friends. Lord, help us. And it's not easy. Lord, it's not easy. Lord, help us to be merciful. Lord, we thank you, God, for all that you're going to do. And I pray for a victory in this area. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Due to the lateness, I was going to ask to do some worship time, but I'd like for us to just go ahead and finish. We are going to have some birthday cake downstairs for our very own Natalie. We love her. Yeah. And so may the Lord be with you. I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. And Lord, fill us with an understanding of all the mercy you've given us. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. He is risen. God bless you. We are dismissed.
We want to thank you for listening.